Good evening, children. It's Granny Macduff, ready with a story. So make yourselves comfy, and I'll begin. Once upon a time, there lived a baron who had two sons who made him very proud. They were very studious young men who had studied everything from botany and biology to music, poetry, and mathematics. Nothing was so important to the baron than being learned. Almost everything his sons knew had been taught to them by their professors or learnt by them from a book. They had very high opinions of themselves and thought themselves the smartest in the land. And so, when the king's daughter announced that she would choose for a husband a man who could arrange his words best, the baron's sons, being quite well spoken, decided to go and woo the princess. They were given a week's stay at the palace. When it was time to make the journey, they thought they were well prepared. One of them knew the entire Latin dictionary by heart.
Latine loquor optime.
3 years it took him to learn it, and now he could recite it backwards, forwards, or sideways, and perfectly. The other brother knew everything about the law. He had read everything there was to read on every law there was.
If the Constitution's system of checks and balances
or walls of a castle. He had one more thing he knew. He could embroider any flower on suspenders. Mostly, he chose roses, as he thought them the prettiest. "I shall be the one to win the princess's hand," they both cried. So, their father, the baron, gave each of them the handsomest pair of horses in all the county. The brother who knew the dictionary took the black horse, and the brother who knew the law took the grey horse. All the people of the town looked on as the brothers mounted their steeds and readied for their journey to the palace. Just as they were about to leave, the baron's third son appeared. He was normally not counted by his family as he was, as they deemed it, not so learned as they. His name was Theodore. Although his father usually called him lazy or slothful, because he did not read books and learn as his brothers did. Instead, Theodore preferred to be outside. And so it was, on this morning he had come in from a hunting trip.
"Hello, my brothers. Going somewhere? I dare say you've got your Sunday clothes on. You must be on an important mission," he said.
"Have you not heard, brother? The announcement was made all through the land. We're on our way to the king's court. We are suitors to the princess."
They told him all about it. Theodore quite liked the idea of having a wife and a family, so he said,
"Well, I'll come along too."
The brothers laughed at him, then nudged their horses forward, and off they went.
"Father, let me go. I shall take my horse, and I shall win the princess's hand," said Theodore.
"Nonsense," replied the baron. "You wouldn't make it past the first hill on that donkey of yours. You are not as learned as your brothers. You do not know how to speak. The princess will choose one who can arrange his words. You can barely string a sentence together. You are very different from your brothers."
"Different or not, if she accepts me, she accepts me. I shall try," Theodore proclaimed.
He mounted his horse and galloped off.
"Hey, how fast and strong you are," he said to his horse.
They slowed a bit to keep a steady pace until sundown. Theodore sang all the way,
told myself that you were right for
his voice
me.
Echoing far and wide. His brothers rode slowly, neither saying a word to the other. For each was planning a speech for the princess in his head, and neither wanted to waste one word.
"Hello,"
Theodore bellowed as he cantered up to them.
"Here I am, brothers. I've caught up. How fast we are. And look, I've found a pheasant for the princess."
Theodore had been hunting along his way.
How silly you are, brother. What do you think the princess will do with that?
His brothers laughed, but Theodore paid them no mind. They urged their horses forward and left Theodore in the dust. Later, he caught up again.
Hello, he bellowed. Here I am again, brothers. I've caught up. How fast we are. And look, I found an old cooking pot.
Ugh, how silly you are, brother. What shall the princess do with an old cooking pot?
His brothers laughed. But Theodore paid them no mind. They urged their horses forward and left Theodore in the dust. Later, he caught up again.
Hello, he bellowed. Here I am again, brothers. I've caught up. How fast we are. And look, I've found a bundle of rosemary. Oh, how lovely it smells.
Oh, how silly you are, brother. What shall the princess do with plucked herbs?
His brothers laughed. But Theodore paid them no mind. They urged their horses forward and left Theodore in the dust. Finally, they arrived at the palace gates. Theodore was not far behind. Once inside the gate, each suitor was given a number. They were made to stand in rows. There were so many suitors that the rows became very packed, so that not one of them could move his arms. People from far and wide came and stood under the windows of the great hall, hoping to get a glimpse of the princess as she chose her husband. Each suitor went in, and as they stepped into the hall, it seemed his power of speech deserted him.
The princess would say,
"Nothing to say? Away with him." And so it went on like this for quite some time. Every suitor seemed to forget his words completely. Then it was time for the brother who knew the Latin dictionary by heart. But as soon as he stepped into the great hall, it was as if he were a candle and his flame blew out. He could not recite one word from the dictionary. He had forgotten it. He looked at the princess, staring, waiting. He saw clerks in the corner, three of them, waiting with their quills, writing down everything that was said so that it might be put in the newspaper. For everyone wanted to know what happened when the princess chose her husband. But there were no words. Sweat began to pour down his face. And finally, he said,
"Goodness, it's warm in here."
"Yes, my father has planned a roast for later. We have begun preparations," replied the princess. Though he intended to impress the princess and say something witty, he could only seem to get out,
"Bah!"
"A lamb indeed," cried the princess. "Away with him." Now it was time for the second brother to show his words and knowledge. But the same thing happened to him. He forgot everything. He could not get a word out except for,
"It's dreadfully hot in here, is it not?"
"Yes," replied the princess. "We've planned a roast for later. We have begun preparations."
What are you, cook, please?"
he stammered. "He speaks not even a sentence," cried the princess. "Away with him." And then came Theodore's time. He walked into the hall, still on his horse. He dismounted and remarked,
"Phew, how abominably hot it is in here."
"Yes," the princess replied. "I am having a roast later. Pork, chicken, and vegetables from the garden. And preparations are underway."
"Ah, what luck I've got then. I've brought you a pheasant. Perhaps we can share it. Might I roast it at the same time?"
"Of course you may," the princess replied. "But
Have you anything to roast it in? I dare say I have not one pot or pan left unused today.
I certainly have,
Theodore told her as he untied the pot from his saddle. He placed the pheasant inside the pot.
Fits perfectly, he said.
But what of any flavouring? Perhaps a herb? But we've used so much for the roast. I doubt we have any left.
Not to worry, Princess. I've got some right here in my saddlebag.
Theodore showed her the rosemary.
Oh, how lovely it is. It will go so well with the pheasant and perhaps even my chickens. A match made.
You have something to say for yourself, but you also know of things besides facts from books.
So do I. You have words beyond studies. You have experience in the world.
Oh, Princess, I shall honour you every day. I don't read from books all the time, some of the time, but I read from life. If you accept that, I am yours.
I do, the princess said.
And I do too,
Theodore said. And they were married that very evening with the roast as a celebration. Theodore and the princess enjoyed the pheasant with rosemary. And they lived happily ever after. The end.
Now it's time to take a deep breath, close our eyes, so that we may drift off into a world of our own adventure. Good night, children.